This week on the Media Corps Minute podcast, I sit down with Anton Darrington, the owner of the Barber Lounge here in Rochester, Minnesota. It was fun learning about his story, hearing the progression of the company, looking at quality over quantity, providing a different level of experience in the industry. So stay tuned. We dive into a lot. Tone, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I was thinking the other day, you know, when I knew you were coming in, I'm like, man, when's like the first time, you know, we were getting connected? And when did you start your business?
2018.
Okay.
May 8th of 2018. Yep.
Because I was at the end of 18, so I knew it was similar kind of time frames. And I think, you know, even in those earlier stages too, like I met you pretty early on. I don't know exactly how. But I remember, like, we were switching some haircuts for some content and stuff like that, and that was a blast. But it's been fun to kind of watch the progression of the company and how you guys have done different things and grown and, you know, what it's turned into. And now I'm coming back, too, and getting my cut there, and I've been loving that. So
yeah, it's been good to see the growth, and it's kind of funny that we're doing this because you kind of started – around the same time that I started, and just to see that growth in you and probably you seeing it in me is good to see, man.
Yeah. No, I love that. Cause where'd you grow up?
South Minneapolis.
Okay. So
I grew up. Yep.
And was the plan to be a barber all along, or
no?
What was that?
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. So from high school, I left high school, played a little college ball.
Okay.
Was in college just to play basketball. Okay. I didn't know what I wanted to do at all. So
it was like professional ball, like ever in the idea, or was like
it was the idea, but it wasn't a dream of mine. But I'm only 5'11", you know. That's it wasn't a real dream. So I played some college ball.
Yep.
Was trying to do the school thing. Didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Stopped doing that. Did security for a couple years.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, did security.
Did you like that?
It was boring. It was
really easy. Really?
Yeah. It was easy money, but literally like overnights and just sitting at a desk. It was not it was not fun at all. So got tired of that. Looked up trades, and barbering kind of jumped out to me. So
yeah.
Just went to barber school. Never picked up a clipper before.
Did you know anybody that like had done it? Or
yeah, one of my good friends was in barber school.
Yeah.
Anthony Gouliard. He was in. And he was like, man, you can come check it out. Yeah.
Yep.
So, and I had a barber at the time, so I would always go in and talk to him about it, and
he said, you know, he liked it. He thought it'd be a good idea, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you can. What the numbers online show barbers can make versus what a barber can make is different, you know? Mm-hmm. So that kind of threw me off when I looked it up. I'm like, $20,000, I can do that doing security, you know?
I don't need a switch to make $20,000.
Right.
Yeah.
So talking to him, he kind of like pushed me to go, and it worked out. Even though I never picked up a clipper before
barber school. Yeah.
Yeah.
So even before we kind of jump into that, because I'm interested to hear that, just kind of for listeners too, you know, what is the Barber Lounge?
So I would say the Barber Lounge is a barbershop that is more focused on like the professional things about a business. So we kind of look at what barbershops are perceived as. Mm-hmm. Like there's just like most barbershops you go into, the client already expects, I'm gonna have to wait. So mm-hmm. we try to go where if you come to our shop and your appointment's at 9, you're gonna sit in a chair at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Try to be professional at all times, whether it's the way we dress, the language we use, mm-hmm. all these aspects to just change the way barbering is perceived.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of clients come in with a lot of problems too, and we try to be the solution to those problems too.
I've been to all kinds and levels of, you know, getting my hair cut, and some have been barbers and some are just, you know, you just walk into great clips kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just, the experience is just wildly different, you know, and like that's, you know, I've even cut my hair for a long time. You know, I've had phases of like, oh, like I just gotta like
do it myself,
this
yeah,
quick and dirty and just get it done.
Yep.
And like again, you know, even coming back now, and you know, it's probably been at least 6 months or something like that that I've been pretty active, and it was just like having someone that you know, mm-hmm, that knows you, that you can trust, they've always done a good job. And then the experience side, you know, like being able to come in, like you said, right away, that was huge.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I've never been used to just like chilling and waiting, you know, something like that. Like I got a busy schedule.
You're too busy to sit in a barbershop.
We gotta run, man.
Yeah. Yep. Come in, get the service that you get every time. It's consistent, you know. You just sit down and get the usual, you know.
Yep. But it's just fun. Like it's just, I don't know, like the experience is just so much better than so many different places that I've been to. And it's like, you know, that's why I can justify certain pricing too and just go like, hey, we're doing it different. If you want that, that's for somebody else. If you want this, this is what we provide here.
Yeah.
You know, like that's been fun, you know. So like,
yeah, I get a lot of pushback on pricing too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think it's just a misunderstanding with a lot of things. And the pushback, you know what's crazy is the pushback is not from clients most of the time. It's mostly from other people in the same industry that I'm in. So it's from other barbers and other barbershops that look down on, you know, the pricing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like,
well, with, I guess with pricing for you, like, how do you think you stack in, like, locally?
So I'm at the highest,
yeah,
probably in the area.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it's due to doing more, you know?
Which, like, it is doing more.
Yeah. So it would be foolish of me to charge the same prices as everybody in the area, mm-hmm, if I'm doing more.
Yep.
You know, if I'm investing a whole lot more, I'm going and taking classes and, mm-hmm, I'm actually solving problems that clients are dealing with. I'm studying products and selling products. Like, mm-hmm, I'm actually really trying to help the client. So everything we invest in the shop is top tier. Just even from the shampoo bowl, you know, it's the massage chair and all these things. It costs money to have it.
Absolutely. And you've built it up over the years too.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I've seen pricing, but also services.
Yeah.
You know, and then equipment, and then things just continue to evolve and level up and get better. And then it's like, yeah, like, and that's what, you know, your clients aren't the ones complaining going, hey, like, what,
right,
because they're experiencing it, they're getting to see the difference. So that's like, oh yeah, this is,
yeah, it's
that
worth,
makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, oh dude, what happened, like, you're doing the same thing but charging me more, like,
right,
it's just, it hasn't been that. But it's kind of fun, you know, because I'm like, you know, I do, you know, hair and beard, and mm-hmm, you know, I asked my brother, you know, like, what hey, like, what do you pay, you know, at this place or this place? And they're like, you know, $20 or something like that. I'm like, why don't you come over here, dude? Like, you got to try this.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, I just can't justify the price. And it's like, I don't know, it's just like a random idea of just this. I don't know why people think it should only cost a certain amount.
I think it comes to, I mean, I think part of it is the perception of barbers. Mm-hmm. Like, the standard of barbering has been lowered so much over time. You know, if you go back in history, barbers were professional, white jacket, you know, blood letters, like dentists. Like, we used to really be professional. So now we're in a time where a lot of barbers have this mindset where it's, I'm my own boss. I can dress how I want to. I can talk how I want to. And the standards of barbering have went down, so clients are like, why should I pay them more? You know, if you look at stylists or cosmetologists, their standards have always been up, you know, and that's why women go and pay $200, $300 for a color.
Yeah.
And they know the atmosphere is going to be clean, they're going to get in on time, you know, so.
Yeah, I don't like seeing my wife's bills from those.
Yeah, it's up there, man. Luckily, my wife, her sister is a stylist, so she gets her hair done for free.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
No, but I love that. I love, like, I mean, I think that's just, again, like, personalities, too. It's like, I would rather pay more for a premium experience in most things.
Yeah.
I think like that just fits it too. It's just like, you know, there's scenarios all over the place where you could pay a little bit more and the experience can be different.
Yeah. I always use
it's a certain level, you know, it's like that's nice. You know?
Yeah. I always use was it Pittsburgh Blue Downtown Steakhouse, yeah. for example. It's like there's a lot of places that sell steak, you know.
Yep.
And you're going to pay that premium price because it's a better quality steak. Yeah. You know, they might have marinated it for some time or, you know.
Or like where they're getting it. Yeah.
And it's not, maybe you don't go there for dinner all the time, but there's that clientele that do, you know. And that's kind of where a lot of barbers should have like a target client that they're going after. And that's, we're focused on that.
Well, I think too, it's like, because not a lot of people are, I guess, doing that in the area too, you can really be, you know, that person in the market.
Exactly.
That can provide that, you know, cause it's like, I don't even know who else I'd go to that could do the, you know, those kinds of things. So I think that's cool too, that you've like found that niche and gone, hey, we're going to be here. We're going to attract this kind of clientele.
Yeah.
You know, I think even like a lot of people too, there's an awareness piece. Like more people just got to know, about it. Like, like one, that you guys are here and doing this, but then two, like, why are you different than other barbers? You know, so it's like that twofold. They got to know you're here in Rochester, the area. You know, which a lot do, but you know, I'm sure there's plenty that's
don't.
But then, like, and then too, like, oh, like even if they came across you, how do they know that you're different than, you know, X, Y, and Z? And I think that's like that cool. Like, I mean, even look in the future, like, how much progression there can be, you know, of like growth and potential and like different things. I mean, that's got to be exciting too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. I don't feel we've been seen at all, like compared to where we could be.
Yeah.
So I think we got a lot of growth. I think a lot of awareness that know that we're here and just to see the difference. So that's where I'm just going to stay steady and try to reach those people.
Yeah. So kind of going back, you know, I'd love to kind of get into the story too. You know, you figure out, hey, this is a, you know, an option that, you know, you could be doing, kind of pursuing. You go into barber school. I mean, what happens? I mean, you just fall in love with doing it, or like, what is that? What does that look like?
So I went to barber school, and I did. I guess I would say I fell in love with it. I mean, I never picked up a clipper before, and they had us cutting the second day in there, so it was nerve wracking. But I got through it, and over time just got the reps in, got better, you know. And I think I love barbering, but my mindset wasn't right. So even when I got out of barber school, I worked at a shop, and I had that same mindset. Man, I'm my own boss. I can kind of dress how I want to. And I worked at a mall shop, so we had a schedule. Didn't like the schedule. I'm like, I got into barbering to create my own schedule, stuff like that. So I think where I really found my passion in barbering and this niche thing was when I went and did classes and learned some stuff. So
So like, and like, when did that kind of take place? Like when you were there, or when you like actually started your
own? So that was when I started my own, like a year into starting my own.
And was Rochester the first, like that was your first, you know, going out on your own, starting your own company?
Yeah, that was
company.
First business. Yeah,
but you were in the cities previously.
Yep.
So what brought you to Rochester?
Actually my wife's best friend and her were just talking about how Rochester is going to be growing.
Yeah.
And then next couple of years. Yeah. It's grown crazy just since I've been here. So my wife kind of was looking for places, and she found the spot that we're in now on Facebook Marketplace, and they put it up for sale, came down, looked at it, and ended up signing a 3-year lease without even spending a night in Rochester. I had zero clientele. And didn't really know much about Rochester besides that, and just took a chance.
Did you have like much of like a nest egg of like savings?
Yeah, I had some savings.
So you're kind of like ready to like jump in, just feet first, and
yeah. I mean, I was at the time when we got the place, I was still working in the city, so okay. We would come down every Tuesday. Me and my wife and some friends and stuff would help here and there, but for the most part, it was me and my wife came down every Tuesday and would do what we could, paint, put flooring down. And then I would go back, work the rest of the week, and then come back. And that was, like, for a couple months until we got it ready to go.
Dang. So what was the reasoning, I guess, behind, like, you know, like, going from just being a part of, a different shop or something like that and going, I really want to have my own, you know? When did that kind of mindset shift? And what were the things that really gone, like, I'm going to take this risk, I'm going to invest into this, and I'm going to start my own?
I think going through, like, within a year, I worked at three different shops. So through that process, the best thing that happened to me is the first shop that I worked at, I got fired.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people don't know that, but
yeah.
I did.
I
got fired just from not doing the things that I was supposed to, just being a professional. This is professional. I came out of barber school and now I'm a professional barber. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't being professional.
Mm-hmm.
So going through that and then going to a shop where I didn't have to be professional.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I seen the effects from that. And then I'm like, man, I could do this.
Right.
So just going through those struggles and seeing it kind of gave me the confidence to open up my own.
And you probably got to see like what you liked and didn't like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even being a part of three in a short time is still like, that gives you a lot of different perspective of like, hey, this works. Didn't love that. We could change that. I could make that better.
Yep.
I'm sure there was some of that too. That was like, you know, you can really tailor it to like what you want and what you think would be that best, like, you know, success and level of experience that you're trying to provide.
Exactly. Yeah. You
know? So you do that working. I mean, that's a lot in its own, like going back to the cities, coming back, working on this. So when did you like fully kind of start like Rochester 24/7 or 100% down here?
So that was May 8th, 2018, that's okay. When we opened up. So it was probably maybe a month before that we moved down, and it was like a month that we moved in. We were still getting stuff together.
Yep.
And then
kind of went full.
Yep.
What was it like initially?
Oh man, it
response
was
wise was it
was slow, man. It was so slow. On the side of the building, there's like a little area, like a picnic area.
Yeah.
And I would grill. Like I was grilling. I had so much time. Nobody was coming. Starting out the first couple months, I would, two haircuts a day was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two haircuts a day. And at that time, it was tough because, I mean, I was charging $20 a haircut.
Yep. That's wild. So what do you think has been like part of that? That growth of like, I mean, how did you kind of pick up?
I think I picked up just being consistent, you know, consistently being there. Helped it pick up. And then once I got consistent, I had a little freedom. So I went, there was a barber, what is it called? A barber like expo in
okay.
the cities.
Yeah.
So I went to that barber expo and they have classes. And for the classes, it was like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. I just stayed in the classes the whole time. I didn't even leave to eat, none of that.
Yeah.
And there was a barber named Morano that was talking about his course, Advanced Barber Systems. And everything he was saying, it just made so much sense from the problems that I was dealing with in the shop. Even though I was busy, I was dealing with a lot of problems. And he was just preaching this work less days, but make more money mm-hmm. by providing solutions to problems.
Yep.
And I went home that day, thought about the course. I didn't have much money saved at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this course wasn't cheap, but took the chance. And that course changed my life and changed my career.
Really?
Yeah.
So what year kind of was that? Was that still 18?
That was, I think that was 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
So kind of like, you know, figured it out for a while, and then you're like, hey, like, start getting into like the courses and the training, and then, I mean, that's probably when you really too like fell in love with like the potential.
Yeah,
like,
that's what? When I was like, okay, now I'm looking at barbering totally different. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it as a real business. You know, barbershops, we all cut hair, but there's a lot of things behind the scenes that a lot of barbers don't get taught in barber school. So mm-hmm. the taxes and stuff like that, that's where I kind of was like, okay, this could be a real career. I could really do this and eventually retire with just doing this.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think you love, I guess, about what you do?
I think I love, giving solutions to problems. So mm-hmm. like, client might come in and he might be dealing with scalp problems.
Yeah.
Me being able to either point him in the direction of a product or a service that we have that he could utilize and get the service and solving that problem for him is what I love about
it,
you know? And just building those relationships with clients, you know, mm-hmm. just like us, we've been
talking for years. Probably get to, you know, build really cool long-term relationships with people like over the years too. And I mean, you see all walks of life, you see, you know, the goods, the bads, the, you know, everything. Like, yeah. That's got to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Dang.
See the growth in them, they see it in me, and it's pretty cool.
Yep. I like that. So what do, now you have other people that are working there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does that work with you owning the shop, bringing people in? What's that like in like the barber industry?
So for most shops, especially booth rent shops, it's just like you rent your chair and don't say nothing to me, basically, you know. But my shop is too little, you know, and we are trying to be different than a lot of shops. So my shop, yes, they pay booth rent, but we're actually a team. So I got AJ in there working with me, which is a great barber. He's new to the industry, but he's really good at what he does, and he's eager to learn, just like I was when I came in. So we're more like a team, you know. Like, we got our own app and everything. It's no jealousy. It's no egos. It's no people out for self. You know, it's not a divided shop. So now, most booth rent shops are like that, but not our shop. Mm-hmm.
And you still have a chair open too. That
yeah.
Yep, you're gonna fill up and grow into, and,
yeah, for the right barber,
right person,
yeah.
I suppose. I mean, that's gotta be challenging too, to like make sure that. Cause, I mean, you guys got to be pretty tight knit too.
Yeah,
I mean, you're always together. You're in that space. You know, clientele. I mean, like, that's got to be a good culture fit for you guys too.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, finding that person.
Yeah.
Do you like newer barbers or like people that kind of have experience, you know?
As far as hiring, I would say newer barbers.
Yeah.
Just because there's a lot of, like, the stuff that I went through early in my career. You know, the whole mindset of, I want to be my own boss, it's about me, you know? That mindset is hard when they've been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
And then you come into a shop like that, and it's kind of like, you can't.
Yeah.
You just bump heads.
Yeah. Is Lee still cutting?
Yeah, Lee's in there.
He's still in there?
Yeah. I seen him yesterday. He's in there on Mondays. Yeah.
I love that.
Yep.
I've only seen him probably, you know, a handful of times when I come in, and he's just a fun.
Yeah.
Fun old dude that's just cutting hair, and because he's kind of retired, isn't he? And he's just kind of cutting for fun now. And
yeah, just, I mean, he's
a couple of his clients. And
He's been cutting some of his clients for, you know, 40 years. So it's hard for him to just give it up, you know?
Yeah. No, that's awesome. How do you think, like, marketing and social media play into what you guys are doing and, like, growth?
I think barbering is kind of repetitive. A lot of barbers do the same stuff. Like, you only can post so many haircuts.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so many haircuts, a ball fade, mohawk.
Yeah.
So with social media, I try to, like promote the services, you know, to show the vibe that we have at the shop, whether it's hot towels, whether it's facials, whether it's shampoo. So I just try to show that on like the Instagram and stuff like that. We haven't really pushed social media as hard as we can, but yeah, that's the goal, is to.
What platforms are you mainly on?
Just Instagram. I'm starting to use Facebook more.
Okay. YouTube at all?
No, not really. No. I need to though.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, I mean, I think Instagram is great, I guess, for what you do, especially like the reels. I mean, that's got to be a big part too, because like I'll be scrolling through reels and I'll just see like viral barber videos.
Yeah,
and just like a lot of them are comedic, you know, and they're doing whatever, and you know, either like pranking somebody or like. You know, there's tons of different funny stuff like that.
Yeah, it's funny and it's cool to watch, but I try to stay away from that just because I feel like that kind of lowers the standard.
Yep.
You know, you don't. I mean, you kind of do see doctors dancing and stuff in
the
clinic now, but they still have that perception that they're professionals, and
you gotta pull off humor, right?
Yeah,
that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah. I think you did a good job with that last video you dropped. That was good.
Yeah. I don't know, we've always enjoyed like the skit side of things, and just I think and we've had the same, you know, mindset too, is like, does this hurt us, you know, in any way?
Yeah.
Because we provide, you know, video solutions at probably the highest level around here.
Yeah.
And it's like, does this take away from that? And I've had people, you know, I've talked to different people too, and it's like, you know, there's an element of that where it's like, oh, I mean, it could, but like, one, it doesn't to me, you know, being somebody else, being a viewer. But they said, like, what we really like though is that it shows like the authenticity,
mm-hmm.
and like you really see like who people are,
right?
And kind of like their character, or like, you know, different things like that. And it's just, so like, I feel like, you know, like that balance of like, is it gonna hurt or help? And I think if it does hurt at all, I think it, like, the help outweighs still.
Yeah.
You know, to still go like, man, like, we can, because I don't think like anybody can look at our stuff and like deny that it's not like a premium, you know, level
it's
of
top
something.
Tier. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, how can we do that? Still, hey, we're the experts at this, but still have fun, you know, while we're doing it, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's that weird balance. Cause,
it's that fine line. You don't want to.
Yeah. Because like, you don't want to be like corny. You don't want to be, you know, weird. But it's like, how can I have fun doing this, you know, showing off, so it's not all serious or all business, or, you know, like. Because I guess like when I see like certain things too, I'm like, man, like, it looks good. I love like the services stuff, because I was diving into your stuff too.
Yep.
But I'm like, I also want to see like, man, like, I want to see like tone and his personality, and like you even talking, you know, a lot of it's like a voiceover sometimes, or like text, or like the music. But
yeah,
I was like, man, like, let's get a mic on you.
Yeah.
Get talking more, you know, being that personality. Cause I think too, like, I mean, I don't go to you just because, you know, you cut my hair well, you know. It's like, I enjoy going in, chatting with you, being in the environment, you know, seeing the guys. And it's like, it's that experience too that I think you can get across
in
like the content. And it doesn't have to be overproduced. I mean, phone stuff,
right?
Like you're doing, but just kind of having like those, like that authentic, you know, get the personality side, I think it would be fun.
Yeah. And I think that's where we need to capitalize on that too.
Yeah,
definitely. I think I can, you can kind of see that on Instagram. That's what's a lot of clients want to see, the consultation with the client.
Yep.
You know, and just the barber talking, you know, you start to get to know.
Because I think, you know, I was even, I mean, I told Jimmy to come check you out, and he did, and he loved it. And but even like up until he actually, you know, came in person, like,
yeah, he had no idea.
Yeah, there's no idea. But I think there's even like, you know, this like what to expect anxiety, I think people have.
Yeah.
I was just talking to somebody about it I forget what industry they're in. I know it's like there's in like medical and med spas and different things, but it's like people like want to know what to expect. They want to know what it's look like, what the process is going to be like, because at any level, you know, people have like anxiety of doing something new, going somewhere they've never been, you know, or trying something different. So it's like, you know, for you even saying, hey, you know, we're doing something different here. And everyone's, you know, most of the time has something that they're doing for their hair, if it's a person or themselves. But it's like, you know, hey, try us out. You know, how could you almost like provide something that goes, hey, this is what you expect, this is what it's like, don't worry about it, you know, to where they're just walking in, they, you know, they already know what it's going to be like.
Right.
I feel like that stuff is cool too, because I mean, it's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, and like, you don't want that to ever be like a crutch that someone has to like, ah, like, I don't want to check them out just because like,
I don't know what
this is easy. And like, I just, I do my thing and I'm comfortable here. Even though like something else could be better, I'd rather just not risk it out of fear, you know, of like, and no one wants to say like, oh, I'm scared to do this or that. But like, you know, there is a anxious part that like people have that's like, no, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Just because it works, you know?
Yeah. I got to work on that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool. Yeah. Because like, especially if you're barbers too. I mean, if like, if you're expecting to go in, to sit down, to be waiting, to, you know, who's going to be in there? What's everyone talking about? You know, and different things like that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. You want to check the like, vibe out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, like, how can you get that stuff across even, like, before, you know, someone comes in? That's, like, that's why I love, like, social. Obviously, that's why I love videos, is because, like, we can try to have, like, that kind of that window in to be what it's like.
Yeah, ahead of time. Yeah.
Yeah. What, I know you mentioned, too, like, quality over quantity.
Yeah.
You know, where does that kind of mindset, you know, really come into place with, like, what you're doing?
I mean, I looked at a lot of the businesses, like a Great Clips.
Yeah.
You know, a Sports Clips. Their motto is to volume, volume. Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of plays into our price point, too. It's like we're not trying to get as many haircuts in as we possibly can in a day. You know, we're trying to get clients that value the service that we provide, and we want to produce the highest quality service that we can provide.
Mm.
And we can't do that if we only got 30 minutes and we're trying to do a detail fade, and we're trying to, oh, this client might have an ingrown hair, we need to consultate them. So we need that time to be able to do that.
Yep.
That's kind of where that idea came from. Like, we do our appointment, you know, instead of 30 minutes. That's what the norm is in barbering.
Do you ever have people that come in, like, even before, like, they would get a cut or something like that, to just almost have, like a consultation of, like...
Yeah, I've definitely had that.
Certain things like that?
And I've had people call and just want to know. But, like, to your point, I need to... do that, get video of that too, so clients are like, okay, they do
help with like different
I can
things.
Book and they'll be able to communicate with me about how I want my hair or whatever.
Because I even think, like, I guess even hearing you talk about the solutions, you know, like I've always gone for, like, you know, a certain level of like experience, professionalism, you know, and then just, you know, doing something that I like and, you know, doing it with people that I like. But, like, the solutions things for me, you know, like, I guess I haven't gone, like, oh, like, there was a specific problem or something like that. But even if I knew that, hey, like, these are different issues that we can help with, like, that would be cool, too, because then you'd know, like, oh, like, I didn't think my barber could help with something like that. Or, like, I didn't know that they do things like that. Like, I just thought they, you know... give me a
just
cut
hair and,
you know,
go.
And off of my day. But it's like, so I like that, because I know you mentioned it a couple times, and I'm like, that's interesting, because I haven't gone for those reasons. I've gone for other reasons, but I'm sure, like, that's got to be a big thing for different people.
Yeah.
Like the solution side. Because I know you got an app now, too.
Yeah.
You got the app, which has been sweet.
Yep.
the ease of booking and things like that. And
it's an investment, but I think it's worth it. A lot of the what our goal too is to be different than every barbershop, whether it's as simple as a mirror on a wall. We got different mirrors. So with the app,
I've never seen that.
Yeah, it's a mirror. Yeah. So with the app, we wanted to invest in that due to the fact that a lot of booking apps for barbers, they're advertising everybody on it. Mm-hmm. Now that we have this custom app, it's just about us. You know, they can just see us. They're not on the app and say, okay, they're booked today. We're gonna go to this shop.
Yeah. So,
it's kind of tailored to us,
right? Our brand. So, did you have somebody like make that app for you specifically?
Yeah. So, it's a company called Squire, and they're a barber app, which they have a format where it's just like Booksy and all that.
Yeah. But yeah.
Squire, if you want to invest in it,
yep,
they'll make you your own app, your own custom app.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool having like your own app. I mean, is it pretty like customizable? Like you can add different things to it and.
Not really. It's kind of like the same,
like they have like
base.
Yep.
But you can customize
kind of like a foundation you can like build off of and things like that.
Yep.
Oh. How have things like, you know, obviously you've been doing this for, I mean, probably almost 6 years.
Yeah, May 8th would be 6 years.
Yep. What have been like things that you've like overcome, challenges that you faced that you like? Because I know, like, that drives you, too, is, like, the, like, pushing forward, trying to get uncomfortable, you know, and
yeah,
moving and progressing. Like, what have been some of those things that have been, like, key for you, key for the shop, kind of in that 6 years?
I would say price point was something to overcome. But I realized that the more value you bring, the it's like a scale, you know, the more value you bring, the more income is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about the income, but it's about, I want to give as much value to my customers as I possibly can. So yep, that's really what I'm focused on. I think another thing we overcame was COVID. We had to be shut down for three months. And the way we run the shop, it was even tougher because I couldn't understand why we had to be shut down when
right,
it's always one-on-one anyway, you
yep,
know? So that was something we definitely overcame. And I think COVID made you realize that you need to get the business side in order too. You know, a lot of make sure you have money put up for those rainy days, you mm-hmm, know, and made me realize as a barber, we don't have the things set in place where people do for like a regular job, like pay time off or vacation mm-hmm, time and stuff like that. So I kind of learned a lot from that.
So have you started to like implement different things like that, or is it kind of like work in progress still?
Yeah. I've implemented like the tax stuff and.
Yep. Yeah. And like I love the idea too of like wanting to be legit out of the gate.
Yeah.
Like having everything like foundation, because there's plenty of things with any company just starting out. I mean, again, to certain size and levels, but like there's things that you can get away with at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, that people do, you know, could bite you in the ass down the road.
Right.
But like there's a lot of that, you know, so I like that even me and Jake, we decided like out of the gate, like we're going to, it's never fun spending the money
and,
you know, paying the extra amounts or doing the things like that. But we always wanted to be legit. We always wanted to have like that firm foundation that we could slowly build off to where, hey, if something does come, you know, great, open books, like it's legit.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about anything.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of my view on it. And it was a process of learning. I had to educate myself about it because you can go to an accountant and try to sit down, and some of the stuff is just basic. Like you got to get it, like learn it on your own so you can have that conversation and get it set up right, you mm-hmm, know? So that was a whole process of learning that and getting that square. Cause I don't want to not have it in place, and I'm trying to make another move and it slows me down because I didn't get that in order, the foundation in order.
Yep. Well, and two, like, yeah, it's like, I mean, you're trying to do this for the long run.
Yeah.
It's not like here's some quick money and I get to do whatever I want. It's like I'm building something like that I can see myself doing for a long, long time. And I see that progressing along the way. Obviously, growth being, you know, attached to that. So it's like sacrificing certain things, you know, even financially, just go, we're going to do this legit from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know.
Like I said earlier in the interview, a lot of barber, like when you look up how much a barber makes, it's like 20,000.
Yeah.
And that's because barbers aren't claiming what they get, you know. And I'm not snitching, but I'm just saying a lot of those numbers aren't right, you know. So I want to do it legit because I want to be able to purchase a home, you know. Right. A lot of barbers can't purchase a home or a car or anything in their name simply because they didn't do it right from the get-go.
Because you don't see all that on there.
Yep.
Which makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I mean, even for the business too, I mean, I'm assuming too, like, there'll be different spaces down the road too. Like, what does the future, I guess, look like for you, for the Barber Lounge? Like, what do you imagine?
I would say try to create some type of income where I don't have to always be behind a chair just to make money, you know, whether it's creating a product, whether it's buying barbershops and helping them succeed, and, you know, just a different avenue where I don't have to be behind a chair to make money.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I suppose there's a lot of things that you have learned and will continue to learn that you could go, like, hey, I'm gonna buy this or acquire this, and then go put all these things in place that I know that'll help it run better, more efficiently, more profitable, you know, things like that you can kind of even scale on.
Yeah. Like one of my mentors, he has like 3 U.S. patents, and it's from creating things in the barber industry. Like he has like a clipper holder and stuff like that. If you don't have the business stuff in order for just cutting hair, how are you gonna be able to run a business where you're selling products like that? So mastering that will help you when you do venture off into another thing into the industry.
Yeah, things that, I mean, there's a lot of companies too that, you know, like they either like start or acquire something too that builds off of what they're already doing.
Mm-hmm.
So being in your industry and going like, hey, this there's opportunity here, there's an opportunity here, like no one's doing this, I could start. It's like, I love that, you know, again, like you have that mindset too of like, how could I be doing this longer, better, you know, start something new. I'm sure there'll be like always an element of, you know, still the enjoyment of like, you know, doing what you love to do. And then also like, hey, here's all the other things that I can kind of get into as well.
Yeah.
Do you ever see like a, you know, big shop, a lot of chairs, or do you see it being like, you know, multiple locations or something like that?
Right now I would say I'm just trying to, the shop that I have now, I just want to see that reach its full potential, and I don't think it's even close.
Yep.
Big shop, a lot of chairs, I don't really see that in my future. Just dealing with so many different personalities, it's not easy. I know a lot of barbers can do it.
Yeah.
But just for me personally, I don't think that's something I want to do. I kind of like, and I think my clientele likes that one-on-one kind of experience versus, you know, 10 chairs and...
Right, because then you're getting back into that, you know, you're losing the... You know, I mean, the whole quantity over quality thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if you get too big, then it's, again, like, are you making it more about just getting numbers?
Yeah, and income, getting people earlier. In
kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what do you think is a sweet spot then?
Right now,
like numbers.
I feel like 3 chairs is perfect. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is there like, I mean, even for you, services, products, I mean, different things like that you can even continue pushing. I mean, there's got to be, new tech coming out all the time and new products coming out all the
time. Yeah, new clippers, all that. I think the biggest thing right now is a company reached out to me, Layrite. It's a pomade company. Yeah. So I've been just, over the years, I've sold product here and there, but now I'm taking it more serious. I'm learning the product. I'm studying the product. It's a quality product. And with this, I mean, with selling product as a barber, you have to do inventory. So yeah. I'm doing that inventory and just learning to keep taking that money and reinvesting in and just learning how to sell products. So when I do get my own product, it's going to flow easy, you know?
So do you think you will have like a product that like you like started or have?
Yeah, I think that's a goal.
Yeah.
That's a goal of mine.
How do you do that?
I mean, there's a lot of private label companies where you can just slap your logo on there, but there's also companies where you can create your own formula. And yeah. So I'm just seeing what products really help clients, and will eventually just try to put my own spin into it, whether it be a scent or, you know, maybe a more elevate the peppermint in the product or whatever.
Yeah. Dang. What about like the educational side of things?
Oh, like education.
Yeah, even like for people in your industry. I mean, do you ever see like, you know, mentoring barbers or different things like that too? That could that be part of it?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And you see that. You see a lot of barbers coming out with ebooks or classes.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple mentors that have helped me grow. So that's definitely something that I want to do too, is take all the information that I've learned and save younger barbers time. Like one thing I preach, like even AJ, when he's newer in here and into barbering, one thing I made sure from the gate is like, bro, let's get these taxes in order. Mm-hmm. And he was humble enough to let me guide him in that, and mm-hmm. he's got it locked in, and it's not gonna slow him down once he, even if he goes out and do his own thing, he's gonna know exactly how to handle it.
So, you know, I know before, you know, we get, you know, close to wrapping up. What are, you know, we have a big, obviously, listening base of people at all different levels, entrepreneurs, inspiring entrepreneurs, owners, things like that. You know, like, what do you think have been just like key things that you've learned that you could even pass on to somebody else that's helped you kind of in your journey?
I would say be open and keep learning. Always search out for education. Get mentors
because
they really help you save time. You know, you don't got to waste time going through the mistakes that they already made. Mm-hmm. So they can guide you. Make sure you get a good mentor and make sure you get the books right. Get your taxes right.
Yeah.
Save, budget. You know, I think that's huge in business. A lot of businesses don't survive just due to that. They're spending money and don't know where it's going. So really hone in on that budget and keep growing the business, keep investing.
Yeah. Yeah, knowing your numbers is big.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I'm still learning, because it's like, you know, I feel like our, you know, some of our stuff is somewhat seasonal. So it's like, you know, we're making money here, we're making a little bit less here, and it's like being able to have certain things in place to where you just like know you're covered.
Yeah, I'm
you know
in what the you're same spending spot. On. Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, knowing your numbers is big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this month is usually a slow month for barbers. It's after the holidays. Mm-hmm. It's cold. People are like, I'm just gonna throw a hat on, but a lot of barbers can like kind of freak out because it's slow. But if you got that put to the side and you prepare, you know, last February was slow. So prepare.
Yep.
You know, it's not a surprise.
Yeah. And still I don't though. So I still get here. I'm like, oh crap, there's less money than August had. So like, what's going on? But So when are we gonna, you know, be able to have like whiskey when I'm getting a haircut?
Oh man, soon. I'm not drinking right now, but soon, I got you.
Yeah, I always thought that'd be, you know, fun. It's just like that, you know, that experience. Yeah. You know, just like chilling. Or, you know.
It's got to be after 5 o'clock though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
After
yep.
five, you get booked, but after five, and I got you.
Yep. After hours cuts.
Yep.
Yep. I like that.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, they're smoking cigars and drinking and just chilling and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they still. I mean, some shops still
some,
do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think they got grandfathered in or something. But yeah.
I'm sure you can't smoke.
Yeah, no.
Can't be doing that now.
Nope.
No. Well, that's sick. Well, man, again, I just appreciate you coming in, and it's been fun chatting and learning more, and
I appreciate you having me, man.
Absolutely. I'm just going to keep sending people your way, too, and I got to get the – I still want to figure out a way we can get you over here and – doing some like corporate stuff,
yeah.
Getting the team involved. I feel like you could do that like with a lot of people, like the whole corporate. I don't know, like corporate accounts and being able to like go into places too and go, hey, there's a ton of people that I don't know. There's got to be different options like that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking into it. I know there's some barbers that do it. They have like contracts with companies where they go in. A lot of barbers do it with like sports teams and stuff like that too. So
yeah,
you'd probably be first on the list.
Yeah, we'll be the pilot. We'll test it out.
Yep.
Work the kinks out, figure it out.
Yep.
Well, sweet. Well, yeah, appreciate it again, man. And I look forward to continue to see the growth and what the next 5 years looks like.
Likewise, too.
Yeah. All right.
Appreciate it, Josh.
Thanks, brother. And as always, guys, thank you so much for listening today. We're excited to continue bringing you different guests, different topics. We're even thinking about introducing, more topical podcasts, even having internal people or doing just solo stuff just internally. A lot of good content in the works. Continue to listen. We appreciate it, and we're excited for the future. We'll see you guys on the next one.